Good morning and Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to Bridge City Church, Murraysville campus. God is so, so good. Amen. Wow, what an amazing time of worship and celebrating really what God has done. And just letting you know, somebody came up to me right as we were closing worship, and I know they don't need their name lifted up, but they just sharing something prophetically God put on their heart about even that last song as we were singing, going to our knees, is it's not something emotional or something that we're just doing in the natural, but it's when God moves on your heart, there should be a response. There should be something we do. Our actions are different when we realize the fullness of who Jesus Christ really is and what he's done for us, that it's a celebration. To surrender is not a sign of defeat when you're surrendering to Christ, right? Surrender is often a sign of defeat or of loss, but when you surrender to Jesus, it's a surrender from a place of victory because we know who he is. He's the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord of Lords. He's already won, and we're on the winning team when we surrender to him. Amen? So I just wanted to share that with you, and if there's ever something you feel God speaking to you, encourage you to come share with me. Come up front, even during worship or whatever it is, the process we do to provide order is you come share it with me, and I discern how and when how we feel God is speaking in that moment. But we're going to continue this second week of our Christmas series, and today we're going to talk about joy to the world. Right? How many of you know Christmas is coming really soon? It's like next week. So anybody done shopping? Anybody still need to get some gifts maybe out there? Well, I'm going to give you a helpful hint, okay? The hands down, the best gift to get this Christmas is a broken drum. It just can't be beat. It just can't be. You're welcome. You're welcome. It can't be. What's a parent's favorite Christmas carol?
Silent Night.
Silent Night. Amen. I was like, somebody's going to get this one. Silent Night with our two-year-old up very early this morning. That's my favorite carol right now. Did you know there's such a thing called the Christmas alphabet? It only has 25 letters because there's no L. My mic got cut off. Thanks, Brett, for that one. Let's continue into the message. But today's big picture, what we're going to cover today, and we as Christians, we should be the most joy-filled people on the planet. Because we have the hope and the joy of the world living within us, we should be the most joy-filled people. It's okay to laugh and have fun in church, right? But Jesus came. We're looking at different reasons each week of why Jesus came to earth. Well, Jesus came to give us good news, great joy, and for all people. For all the people to know the good news, the gospel of Jesus, the great joy that we get, and for all people. Three things he came to give us, and we're going to look at that, and we're going to dig into that a little bit as we look at the Christmas story and some other passages from the Bible. But before we jump into the text, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are the true joy, the joy to the world, our joy, our hope, our peace. God, I pray as we worshiped you this morning that it was pleasing to you. God, I pray for your word to go forth today that would penetrate each and every one of our hearts, mine included. God, that this wouldn't be a message that I put together, but God, it would be your message, your heart, your spirit that's speaking to each and every person right where we are. God, that we'd hear your word, we'd be doers of your word, and God, we put into practice what it is you want to speak to us today. Father, may you speak through your message, through your word today, that you'd receive all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to jump right into Luke chapter 2, which is one of the passages, the chapters that talk about the Christmas story. And then we're going to look at how we can have joy, what it looks like to have joy, some practical ways. And then we're going to get to practice, putting into practice having joy in our own lives. We start off in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. That night was the night Jesus was born. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, they went to Bethlehem, and Jesus was born that night, and nearby there's these shepherds watching their sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Verse 10, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people." There's three things that we mentioned: the good news, the great joy, and it's for all people. The amazing thing about this that little phrase, and throughout the New Testament especially, we see that phrasing of all people, that all people are available to be reached by God. All people can have their sins forgiven. God sent his son Jesus not just to die for one type of people, but for all people. It is the will of God that none shall perish, but that all will have eternal life, that all will choose to accept him. So it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Gentile or not a believer of Judaism and follower of that faith, but for all people, male, female, slave, free, young, old, black, white, every person on the planet, the gospel and the good news, the great joy is available to them all. We believe that the gospel is for all people. He says the Savior, the angels are telling the angel is telling the shepherds, is the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. This good news that they're talking about is the gospel message. Gospel means good news. It's the same word by definition. Gospel means good news. So when we go and evangelize, we share the good news with people. When you're testifying of what God's done in your life, it's sharing the good news. You're sharing the gospel when it's about Jesus and what he's done, the forgiveness and removal of sin, of doubt, of shame, and regret. We replace it with a life in relationship with God. The good news is we're not defined by our past. We're not defined by our sin, but that Jesus has removed sin, removed doubt, removed shame, removed all that, and replaced it with a relationship with him. That's good news. Amen? Amen. That is good, good news. The great joy that comes is exceeding and abundant. Cheerfulness, gladness. It's an awareness of grace and favor. You know what great joy is? It's more than a personality. It's more than a feeling. It's more than just being an extroverted type of person. It's exceedingly and abundantly being aware of the grace and favor of God. When you have a realization, that awareness of God's grace, his mercy, his favor upon your life, it produces great joy. This exceeding, abundant, overflowing joy that pours out onto other people. It's not just being happy. Happiness is based on feelings. Happiness is based on what's happening around you. Happiness is good. You should be happy. But you can be very sad and still have great joy. Circumstances can look really bad. The loss of a loved one. Something tragic happening in your life. But you can still have joy. This awareness of God's grace and favor. And it's for all people that we are all one piece making up the entire picture. It's so much more than just my life or what's going on around me. It's when you realize it's for all people, it's a bigger picture. And our problems in light of everyone else's doesn't really, they aren't that big. And we start to look at life through the vision, through the lens and perspective of all people. Our problems, we start to lift up other people and start looking at how we can help other people more than just what we get out of it. There's this good news, great joy for all the people. So what's extended to us? Well, verse 11, there's three aspects, three words I want to mention to you from describing Jesus. It says he's a Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem. That word Savior, many people, I don't know of anybody, I haven't met a single person who doesn't want saved from something. Right? You get a speeding ticket, you're like, I mean, I want that ticket to be waived. I want the judge or the police officer just like write it off, discard it, let me off with a warning. Right? We all want saved from punishment. We all want saved. Jesus as our Savior means he's the forgiver of our past. He forgives your sins. How many of you know you want Jesus to forgive your sin? You want that payment for your sins. Savior, it saves us from sin and delivers us to safety. Two different parts here where Jesus delivered us from our sin. He delivered us from the wrath of God because there's a punishment due to our sin. Because we have sinned, we all have sinned, there's a punishment, but he saves us. He delivers us from that. But he delivers us to something. He delivers us to safety in him, to his protection, to his provision, to ultimately eternal life where we're protected from the wrath of God. Second word here is Messiah or Christ. And the difference here, Messiah is Hebrew. So the Old Testament was primarily written in Hebrew, some parts in Aramaic, and more of an ancient language. It's not the Aramaic and the Hebrew language isn't as common today as it was back then as far as the main language of believers. But Messiah is the Hebrew word that means the same as Christ. Christ is the Greek word. It comes from Christos. And in the New Testament, most of the New Testament was all written in Greek because it was the language that the people spoke and wrote and read at that time. So Messiah and Christ, if you hear both those words, they mean the same thing. They're identifying Jesus, which is the anointed one, the one who breaks bondage off of our lives and frees us. You ever hear Merry Christmas, Merry Xmas, rather? The X, I used to always hate it. I'm like, you're taking Christ out of it. And maybe some places that's true. They're trying to remove Christ. But the X is actually the first letter of Christos in the Greek language. It's a letter, it looks like a letter X. It's chi in Greek. And that X is actually the same abbreviation used hundreds and hundreds of years ago. When we say Merry Xmas, you can actually, X is short for Christ. Now, I think there are people that maybe replace it because they're trying to remove Christ. But now I'm like, I'm not as bothered by it. I can still put X and mean Christ. I prefer writing it out just for those of you who care to know that information. But the point of this is Messiah and Christ is the same thing. Testifying, who is this Jesus? Who is this baby that was born? Why does this baby born in a manger, why does this matter? It's because he's the Savior. The angels were proclaiming this to these shepherds who would have known that when they used these words, the Savior, Messiah, Christ, the Lord, they would have known exactly what they were talking about. They would have realized, like, this is the guy? This is the one we've been waiting for? All of Judaism, the faith that they've led up from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all the way on, were waiting for the Messiah. And here it is, these angels, these vast hosts of angels, proclaiming tonight is the night. Today is the day that the Savior is born. And he's nearby in the city of David in Bethlehem. The third thing he says is, yes, the Lord. The Lord was born today. The Lord is absolute ownership, exercising full rights. It's like he calls the shots, the master, the Lord. We don't use that word a whole lot in our English language, but Lord is, he has absolute ownership of my life. Jesus is the Savior. He's the anointed one. He breaks off bondages in our lives. He frees us. But then he's got to become Lord of your life. Savior, it's like he's waived the penalty. He's waived the punishment. He sets us free as Messiah, as Christ. But we got to get to where he's Lord. He owns my life. He's master. He's Lord. He's my King. He's my God. If we never get to that, we miss out on experiencing the fullness of Jesus. We miss out on so much more that he has for our lives, this great joy that we can have. The good news, Jesus is our Savior. He's the Lord of my life. When we get to that Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. That whatever God says, the answer is yes, Lord, before he ever speaks it. You know what happens when we follow this? When he becomes Savior and your Messiah or your Christ, and then he becomes your Lord, the result is joy. It's overwhelming joy that comes as a result. The next couple of verses, the shepherds, they look to each other and they say, let's go check it out. We got to go see this thing that the Lord has shown us. And they rush to go see baby Jesus in the manger. And I think at times people hear about this great joy, but sometimes they don't rush to go see it, right? Have you ever maybe delayed on going to check something out? Hey, I heard about this great restaurant. You got to check it out. People rush to that. But what about the good news of Jesus? That if we would be like the shepherd and say, hey, let's go check out this Jesus. Let's go check out what this means, the Savior, this Lord. What is this? People would follow if we shared it with the joy that comes from knowing him, having that awareness of grace and favor from God. This journey is to bring us freedom and an awareness of who Jesus really is. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is actually reading from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and he tells us why he's here. You know, we ask the question, why did Jesus come? As we're answering through this series, why Jesus come? He answered it by reading Isaiah 61. And I'm going to read through a couple of verses here and then unpack them for you. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus is reading this in a synagogue about himself. This was written about him about 700 years prior to this moment. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." That Jesus is the anointed one. He's the holy one. He's set apart. He's consecrated, separate. This anointing that the Lord has put upon himself. That Jesus came to set us free. Let me ask you a question. Has Jesus set you free? A free people, they get excited and they have joy that Jesus has set them free. That the prison doors are open. Would you, if you've been set free by Jesus, would you say amen? Amen. Let's cheer and shout on what God has done. You know who doesn't cheer and shout? People who are in chains. People who are in prison. People who are in bondage. But I'm set free, and because of that, I want to cheer. I want to shout. I want to worship without caring about what anybody's looking at me. I want to worship as to an audience of one. Jesus continues. He says, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes." Some translations say, "a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness or joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit." So much of our lives, there's these things that happen. There's loss, there's mourning, there's grief. There's ashes. Ashes represent something that's been burned up, something dead, something that's really useless. It's been burned up to ash. And the Jewish people would put ash on their head. It represented mourning and grief. And God's here saying prophetically, he's speaking this 700 years before Jesus. And then Jesus is reading this now, saying, "I'm going to grant those who are mourning a crown of beauty from ashes." I know it looks like something in your life has been burned up. I know it looks like there's something you're mourning, you're grieving. And hear me out. If you're mourning and you're grieving, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. It's okay to mourn. But let God comfort you through the mourning. Let God bring you comfort and beautiful headdress. He's going to put something on your head that shows your value, not the ashes, not the mourning anymore. The quicker we can get from mourning and grieving to the gladness, to the oil of joy that comes from God, the blessing that pours out, the more we can see and follow God more closely. He says the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. The faint spirit is also, it's despair, it's loneliness, it's hopelessness. It's at the end of myself that he says to put on the garment of praise. This garment wasn't just like a scarf. It wasn't just something to cover your shoulders. This garment, this word, it has the meaning of totally enveloping you. It's like a big overcoat. I don't have one, so I couldn't model it for you. But it's like a big overcoat. Maybe the Christmas story, like Ralphie and his little brother. Can you picture that? Like, you're protected. You're covered. There's no wind, no colds getting into those kids, right? Like, this complete garment of praise is like a covering. A complete surrounding, so much so that nothing can get in. Despair can't get in. The hopelessness can't get in. Fear can't get in. Anxiety can't get in. When we worship and we praise, our focus is so much on God that the cares of this world are meaningless and nothing compared to the glory of our God. The more we choose to put on that garment of praise, and it's something we have to do intentionally. It's not going to happen. You don't get dressed by accident, right? You don't put on the garment of praise by accident, but we have to be intentional on putting it on. So when you're distressed, choose joy. Choose joy. It's a decision. Come on, let's be honest. We're all in church. How many of you love being in control? Most of us, we want to be in control of our lives, of things happening to us. This is an opportunity to have some control. God gives us the ability to choose joy. No matter what is happening to you or around you, you can choose joy. When you're stressed and frantic and you're worried about making the perfect dinner for your family coming over or getting the perfect gift or being around certain family members, choose joy. Choose joy every single step of the way. Choose to put on the garment of praise even when you don't feel like it. maybe especially when you don't feel like it, put on that garment of praise. You know what makes joy so great? Is we know despair is coming. We know sadness is coming. We know, like, it's life. It's not doom and gloom. It's life happens. Bad things happen. Circumstances happen, but we can choose joy to overcome it all. We can choose joy that overcomes how we feel, overcomes our circumstances. There's a story I once heard about a guy in a grocery store. He's pushing his baby. And he's pushing his little baby, and the baby's just crying and wailing and weeping and screaming. And this dad's pushing the baby in the shopping cart. And he says, "It's okay, Albert. It's okay, Albert. You'll be okay, Albert. It's okay. Stay calm, Albert. It's okay. Take a deep breath, Albert. It's going to be okay." And just keeps doing it. And a lady nearby is watching this guy. And she's just so impressed. Like, wow, this dad is so gentle, so soft, so gentle with this baby that's crying. And she watches him for a few aisles and kind of follows him. She finally is like, "Man, I got to go say something to this guy." And she goes up to the guy and she goes, "Hey, sir, I just want to let you know, I'm so impressed with how calm and how gentle and how sweet you are to little baby Albert." The man looks at her and he says, "I'm Albert." Sometimes we need to tell our soul, "It is well within me." Amen. We need to tell ourselves, self-talk is okay if you're talking the right things. Saying, "It's okay, Albert, I'm going to be okay. God is still good. God still sits on the throne," right? We got to choose joy. Choose what we're putting into our lives, putting into our minds. Putting on a good worship song can be the best medicine for you. Amen. Getting your focus off of your problems and onto God, who is the one who can overcome and has overcome all of our problems. So we need to be intentional through the holidays. Intentionality. Being intentional is going to help you so much over these next few weeks and into January and into all of 2024. I believe if you are intentional with telling our time where to go and what we're going to do, it'll be the best thing for you. Be intentional. We have opportunities for you. I want to share with you of right now. I know holidays are coming and we get lost in things happening and things kind of go by quickly at times. But I want to let you know, in the next couple weeks, you're going to be hearing about some things. Starting on December 31st, we're having a worship night at our North Braddock campus. I want you to be intentional to be there, to put on the garment of praise. That's New Year's Eve, 6 p.m., so you have plenty of time to still get home and get in bed before 9. Anybody else with me? I've seen enough ball drops. I'm good. I'm going to be sleeping, right? But the problem is all the neighbors with the pots and pans wake you up. But 6 p.m., be there. Be intentional putting on the garment of praise. It's not going to happen by accident. You don't just accidentally show up at a worship night. You got to be intentional, scheduling to be there. We're also going to have water baptisms that night. What better way to close the year, launch into the next year, than celebrating with people taking their next step and being water baptized? The following week, on January 7th, we have a worship night right here in Murrysville, 6 p.m. Each Sunday night through January, we're going to have worship nights at different campuses. We're having ours January 7th right here, 6 p.m. Put it in your calendar. Put it in your phone. Come Sunday morning for church. But then come back at 6 p.m. for worship night, and let's see what God's going to do. Also, it's kicking off a week of prayer and fasting. So we do prayer and fasting as a church 7 days from the 7th through the 13th. If you've never fasted before, I encourage you to do something. Take a step. Fasting is saying no to some food for spiritual purposes. Denying your flesh. Denying, saying, "Body, I can go without a meal and survive. Surely I will not die." Like, you can speak to yourself and say, we'll be okay. But spend that time focusing on God, being really aware of what God is doing. Then we wrap up that week with a power conference on Saturday, January 13th from 9 to 1. 9 to 1, 4 hours. It's jam-packed. We have two guest ministers. One's coming from Hawaii, Terry Wong. Another one is Joe Warner from North Carolina. Two powerhouses in the spiritual, guys that are going to train, equip, and help us experience the power of God. These are things that you got to be intentional to be there. Like, we're not picking you up at your house, driving you there. Like, if you want to put on the garment of praise, you want to start 2024 off right, be at these events, be at these places to worship, to put on that garment, to experience the power that God has available for us. Because to be honest, there's a lot of things that try to steal our joy. Anybody else live in the same world I do? Turn on the news. Look on social media. Talk to your coworker. Right? There's so many things that try to steal our joy and get us entangled in things that prevent us from experiencing the fullness of God. You know, I think a good picture of entanglement is Christmas lights, right? 'Tis the season. This is a small bundle, but how many of you put up Christmas lights of any kind? Any of you? A couple of you? Okay, some of you have the Christmas spirit. No, I'm kidding. I'm being nice. But this ball, how many of you know, like, Christmas lights can be a nightmare, right? You get frustrated. You're trying to untangle them. It becomes so much work that you either throw them away and go buy new ones, or you just plug them in and that's what you should get. It's a ball of light, right? But I think this represents often some of our lives, where our lives can feel like they're all tangled up, a big mess. Any of you ever feel that way? Maybe feel that way right now? Like, man, life just seems like it's a mess. I can never get ahead. Man, God, where are you at times? It just feels like I'm in this big mess of a ball of lights. But when life doesn't work out the way you thought it would, you get a couple options. You either walk away or you press in. You say, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work through this. And I'm not going to do it alone. I'm going to let Jesus untangle the mess of my life and allow others to help as well. So what entangles our lives? I'm going to give you a couple verses here. Four verses, four specific points of what entangles our lives. This isn't an all-inclusive list, but these are verses that use that word entanglement and kind of God warning us and caring for us to stay away from. But Hebrews 12:1 talks about our past sin can entangle us. Bad habits from your past can get you tripped up again, can get you wrapped up again, entangled into things you used to be doing. Sometimes even that's mindsets. Our mindsets can become captive, the way we used to think. And you start thinking that way again. Tied up to slavery again. Galatians 5:1 says, talking about don't get caught up into slavery again. Don't get caught up into the law and legalism and just going through the motions of religion. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get tangled in that again. 2 Timothy 2:4 talks about tangled up in the affairs of life. Talking about we're to be soldiers for Christ. Don't get caught up in the affairs of the world and of life. Mark 4:19 talks about the cares of life. That can entangle us. A lot of times they're good things that can entangle us. You know, one of the things that entangles me at times is my work ethic. I can get to where I'm working too much, where I can become addicted to my work, and I start to neglect other areas of my life. I'm just being honest with you. Something that people say, well, that's good. Working is good. And it is, but it can become too much. It can become an entanglement for my life when my work becomes my value or my identity. Where if I'm finding my worth and my value from what I can accomplish or what I can do or what I can build, that's not good. My value and my worth comes from the price that Jesus Christ paid for me, that his blood. And that's the same for every single one of you. Whatever that is that's entangling you, maybe it's past sin, maybe it's trying to do things through religion and getting tangled up with the affairs of life or the worry about money and finances and jobs and all the stuff that's in Mark 14. What is it that it's entangling you? Maybe it's causing you to feel worthless or feeling like God's not there, God doesn't care. But getting back to realizing our value and our worth comes from the blood of Jesus, that he paid that price. Jesus has the power to break off the bondage of your life, but often he uses other people to unwrap us. I actually need a couple of volunteers, two people. Come up on stage. Who wants to come on up? Raise your hands. Jump on up. I'll call on you. Don't worry. I will call on you. Two people. Maria, come on up. Dawn, come on up. Don't trip on this cord. I think this is on. Hopefully it's on. We'll find out. But this is an illustration of many of our lives. We get this ball of mess, right? Our life at times. Sometimes we got a few bulbs out. Anybody admit that sometimes? But what happens is I can try to unravel this and, you know, I can get so far, but eventually you get stuck or you get frustrated or you just throw it down and you give up. But it becomes so much easier when somebody helps. Go this way. Somebody helps us get unraveled. Why don't you open this one? Just keep pulling that out.
I'll try my best.
Go ahead. Let's do it together.
Okay.
Helps the illustration. See, together, it becomes so much easier, in Jesus' name, speaking in faith, to unwrap and just keep that stretched out there. All the way. You can go all the way back. All the way. Look at that. Perfect distance here. Here's the moment of truth. We need one another to unravel and unwrap our mess. But often we stiff-arm people. We say, I got it. I'm working through it. I'm figuring it out. I'm going to do it all on my own. Instead of asking for help. What entangles my life, be honest, I'm very bad at asking for help. I want to do it on my own. I want to figure it out. It's Jesus in me. And Jesus is like, I'm giving other people in your life to help you.
Yeah.
Often we go, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you sending any help? And he's like, I did. You're just not going and asking for it from the people around you, from the people who can help you, people even in your own household. But you know what's missing is the power source. The power source isn't the other people. It's Jesus. This is the power source that we have to get connected to, plugged in to truly light up. Would you hold that and keep that in there so it stays on? Just kind of keep it. That's what happens when you use the well-used extension cord. Jesus doesn't flicker like that, just for the record. But maybe it's a good sign. We sometimes flicker, right? We ebb and flow. We go to church. We read our Bible. We pray. We're doing good. And then we fall off. Then we fall off. Then, well, I got this thing. I got this thing. I got this thing. And sometimes we don't stay closely connected to Jesus like we should. But we need to be stretched. You know what happens is when we're all together, we can be connected to Jesus. We're just a ball of light. But when we get stretched out, it's for more people to see. Joy to the world isn't just one person in their house. It's for us to be stretched out for the world to see. And then we connect string of light to string of light to string of light. We cover more of the world for people to see and experience Jesus. It's the joy to the world that we want to bring. Thank you so much. You could set this right on the edge of the stage. We'll just leave them on.
Nice.
Right on the front. Perfect. Don't touch it. Let's give Maria and Dawn a great big hand. So how do we find joy in the midst of a messy world? Here's just a couple practical things. I want to give you some practical. It's easy to say, have joy. But how do we do it? What are some ways that can help you? This isn't an all-inclusive list, but stop comparing yourself. Stop comparing to other people, especially on social media. Right? Stop comparing. Stop looking around at what other people are wearing and what other people... Get so consumed with what God is doing and what he wants to speak to you that you don't. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. Stop comparing. Choose thankfulness. Choose joy. Choose gratitude. Say thank you, Jesus, every single day. Thank you that you allow me to even communicate with you. Start with choosing thankfulness. When you're thankful and grateful, it's really hard to complain. When you're thankful and praising God, it's really hard to complain and be negative. Put on the garment of praise. Be intentional, wrapping yourself in the garment of praise. Worship every single day. Don't wait till Sunday morning to be the only time you worship. Worship every single day and throughout the day. Put on Christian music, especially now. Everyone's worshiping the Jesus in the malls and everywhere there's Christmas music. They don't even realize. I'm like, praise and worship Jesus. Don't isolate. So many bad things happen when you isolate. I mean, all the statistics, all the worldly statistics show how bad it is for people's mental health, emotional health, relational health when we isolate. Don't isolate. And I say, be wise. If you're sick, don't be around people. But if there's no other reason, don't isolate. And even if you are sick, stay connected. Let people know how you're doing. Stay connected, especially through these winter months. It's so easy to isolate, but don't isolate. Stay connected. Negotiate a manageable schedule. And this is something, kind of goes with the next one. Manage your priorities, not your time. It's so much about when your priorities are right, your time will follow. I think so many people say they're so busy, they got so much going on, and I look at how much time they're spending on social media, spending on watching TV, playing games, doing all these, which none of those are necessarily bad, but how much time are you prioritizing there over your family, over worship, over reading the Bible, over spending time with fellow believers? Negotiate manageable schedules. Make sure you're getting rest. Make sure you have downtime to just reflect and say, God, what are you speaking to me? I think we often want a quick and easy solution. right? We want a rapid weight loss plan. As soon as January 1st starts, I'm starting my rapid weight loss plan. By January 3rd, we're off of it, right? But we usually want this rapid, quick weight loss plan, or we want all my problems to go away with one prayer. But that's usually not the way it happens, right? We're on a journey. God allows us time and trials so that we grow and increase our faith. This joy is like peace. It doesn't always make sense, but we can obtain it by faith. When we say yes to Jesus, Jesus doesn't just give us joy. He is joy. He is joy. It's who he is. It's part of his nature. When we encounter Jesus, we encounter joy itself. To tell others the good news about him is a way we can experience joy as well. To share joy with all the people. There's a quote from Carl Henry. It says, "The gospel is only good news if it gets there on time." It's only good news of a deal or of a sale when you can actually take advantage of the sale. When the sale's over, it's not really good news, right? When the news of the bridge is out ahead, it's only good news if you catch it in time. Instead, you're off the cliff, right? The good news of Jesus is only good news if it gets there on time, if we tell people about Jesus. And I know evangelism and sharing our faith can be one of the most times as Christians, we can feel guilty, we can feel shame, we feel condemned. But I want to encourage you that there's something that to be said about sharing the good news with people, that it brings us joy. It's not just about getting joy to the world, which it is, but we've experienced joy when we share the good news of Jesus with other people. I want to read to you a statistic. It just shook me a little bit of realizing what's at stake. That every single day in the world, 178,000 people die. 178,000 people die every day in our world. It's about 7,425 every hour, or 120 every minute. Every minute, 120 people die. How many of them know Jesus? How many of them were given the opportunity to say yes or no to him? I think we live in America and we think, well, everybody's heard of Jesus. Everybody's had the chance. But that's not the case. Still so many people I talk to in their 20s, 30s, 40s, like, I never really heard this. I never heard the gospel. They knew about Christianity. They knew about churches. They knew about religion, but they never really heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that he wants to be their Savior, their Messiah, and their Lord, to give them this great joy. So I have three questions. If not us, then who? If not here, then where? And if not now, then when? Are we looking forward to the return of Jesus? Are we longing and expecting and excited about Jesus to return? He's going to come back. And he's coming back for a victorious church. And I want as many people as possible to be a part of his church. If it's not us, nobody else is going to do it. We have to go. We have to go with an urgency of now. Recognizing that, I know Christmas happens every year, but we have one of the best opportunities in the next 6 days to invite as many people as possible, not to church, but to experience the one who is joy, and his name is Jesus. There's seats all around you, invites all around on the seats. These are for you to take to give to people this week. There's a whole stack of them in the back. It's such a simple thing to say, hey, will you come join me for a candlelight worship time? 6 p.m., December 23rd, would you join me? You can sit with me. If you're serving that day, say, come and we'll hang out together. We have a hot chocolate bar, and there's hopefully some snacks and food going to be available that night. Invite people for the hot chocolate bar, and they'll come and get Jesus. It's okay to do that. It's not bait and switch. It's get them here for the hot chocolate, we give them Jesus. They get something so much greater than what they came for. But invite as many people as possible. If somebody invited you here today, it shows that they love you. They care about you. They want what's best for you. They want you to experience the joy that Jesus has given them. And we should all say thank you for whoever invited us to church for the very first time. We want as many people as possible to experience the life-changing power of Jesus. I have a few more verses to wrap up, and then we're going to sing a song again. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 6, says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead." I believe that's for each and every one of you. There's wonderful joy ahead. This Christmas is going to be the best Christmas you've ever had. There's wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, yes, that I believe includes in-laws and extended family and burnt food. There's endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Verse 8, you love him even though you've never seen him, though you do not see him now, you trust him. You rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The Apostle Peter, he said, there's wonderful joy ahead for you. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's Jesus said, you will have many trials in this life. But what did he say? Take heart, for I have overcome the world. Take heart, because Jesus has already overcome sin in the grave. We can have this glorious, inexpressible joy when we know Jesus, when we trust in him. He says, even though you've never seen him, you trust in him. None of us have seen Jesus in the flesh, but we trust in him. We trust the word of God that testifies of him. We have seen his work at hand. If you're here today and you say, I don't know for sure that I've ever trusted him with my life, not just here and now, but eternity, I invite you to make that decision today. Would you all please stand to your feet? If you're here today and you've trusted in Jesus, would you say amen? If you've experienced Jesus, would you say amen?
Amen?
If you know that you have the joy to the world and his name is Jesus, would you say amen?
Amen.
We get to experience the joy of knowing Jesus, of experiencing him. It starts with him being Savior, that he delivers us from the wrath of God. He delivers us from the punishment of our sins. That he wants to break off the bondages of your life, to set you free. That he wants you to be him to be Lord of your life. That whatever he says, it's for your best interest. If you're here today and maybe you say, I believed him as Savior, but I've never really gotten free, or I've never called him Lord or really understood what that meant. I want to give you this moment today to take a step with God. If you've never received him as your Savior, as the forgiver of your past, today can be your day. If there's some stuff that you got holding on to you, some sin habits, some addictions, some mindsets, whatever that may be, he wants to break those off of you in Jesus' name. I want you to take your step today to get free, to get set free from the chains that are holding you back. Maybe you say, I've been free, but I'm not really walking with him as my Lord, as Master, that he has ownership of my life. I'm offering you today to say yes to him, finally becoming Lord. No matter where you are, whether you take a step of Savior, Messiah, or Lord, or any part of that, I want to pray for you. I want to invite you to just lift up your hands. No matter where you are, if you need to take a step, any one of those areas, if you just even want, I want to get more free in my walk with Christ, I want to pray for you. Anything at all. Thank you. Anybody else? Lift up those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. You can keep them up. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for every single person who knows they need to take a next step with you. God, for those who need to take a step to call you and know you as Savior, to experience you, that inexpressible joy, knowing that we are saved, our soul can be saved when we say yes to you as the forgiver of our past. Father, I pray for every single person who is in bondage or in chains or in prison right now. Father, that you would break off the chains that are holding them down. That you'd break open the prison doors that are keeping them captive. You'd break off the mindsets, the prejudices, even the mourning and grieving, God, that's been holding your people back. God, that you'd break them in Jesus' name. That you release your people. Release your sons and daughters to truly be free. And Father, anybody who needs to take a step of faith to call you Lord, to call you Master, to not just give you 50% of their life, but to give you 100% because you paid 100% to purchase us with your blood. God, that they would say, yes, Lord, to you. Father, deliver each and every one of us from anything that we need rescued from, we need saved from, we need set free from. God, may we know you as Savior and Lord and Messiah. We worship you with an inexpressible joy. And may we take that joy to as many people as possible so they'd encounter you, the one true King. Father, we thank you. We praise you. I pray for each and every person that would take a step of faith with you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. We're going to continue to worship to joy to the world. If you've experienced Jesus, I encourage you to worship like you really mean it. Amen. Let's worship, church.